Welcome to Sportsmen of Colorado, Colorado's premier outdoor radio show, heard every Saturday afternoon on KLZ 560, with insights on hunting, fishing, archery, guns, and ammo from Colorado's top outfitters, featuring the industry's leading experts on how to enhance your experience in the great outdoors. Now, here's your host, Scott Whatley.
Good afternoon and welcome to Sportsmen of Colorado. My name is Scott Whatley. Glad you got to join us today, and it is a very good day to have my partner, Red Merrill, back in the saddle. I'll use that term, back in the saddle. How are you, bud?
Well, I am doing way better. I'm not ready to get back in the saddle yet, but I am ready to do the show.
Well, Red had a, what's it been, 3 weeks? 4 weeks?
It'll be 3 weeks Thursday.
3 weeks Thursday, yeah. Red hit the eject button off his horse and broke a couple of ribs and... And see, I always laugh when I do that. I say broke a couple of ribs. I don't mean to laugh.
Some of my daughter.
Yeah, broke a couple of ribs and, boy, collapsed the partial lung there. But doing better and great to have Red back in studio today. We've got a lineup for you today. Looking forward to it. We've got Willie Schmidt, host of Pure Hunting. He's going to be with us here just momentarily. And then C.J. Costola is with us. We're going to be talking about the Snake Avoidance Clinic again. That's coming up May 21st and 22nd. And then just going to hit on some dog training tips with CJ because he's been doing this a long time. But first of all, let's go to our Willie Schmidt, with host of Pure Hunting on the Sportsman's Channel. Willie, how are you, my friend?
I'm doing well. How are you guys doing?
Hey, man, we're doing great. Yeah,
we're doing good.
Great. So great to catch up with you. First of all, let's talk a little bit about the show, Pure Hunting on the Sportsman's Channel, and tell us what's all going on in the show. And this is season number four?
Five.
Wow. Passes quick.
Yeah, hard to believe.
Wow, good deal. So tell us a little bit about what's on season five.
Well, we've had a pretty good year. I actually have two more hunts that we're going to film this spring, which will air this fall. Most times it's, you know, you hunt a lot in the fall and then do all the editing and everything, and it airs the following fall, so it's about a year turnaround time. But we've got a couple of fun hunts still this year that we'll film, and they'll be on this fall. We're going to be on Thursday nights again. A great Thursday night lineup. A lot of Western hunting shows. Western Hunter will be there, Into High Country and Pure Hunting, and then there'll be a couple of other shows that'll come in, some in third quarter, some in fourth quarter. But it's primetime Thursday night, and, man, I can't believe, number one, how close it is, and number two, that it is season five. There's a lot of attrition in outdoor television, and if you'd asked me when we first started what I thought the timeline might be, I thought if we hit 3 or 4 years, we'd be doing pretty well, and season five will air, and already getting some hunts lined up, waiting for draw results for season six this fall.
Right, and I tell you, when you watch a lot of shows, I put yours, Trevin, and boy, you guys just do such a great job, because when you watch some of the hunting shows, I mean, sometimes just even the quality of film is not good, and then it's just such a setup type deal. You get a lot of that feeling too, where you guys really go after that whole experience. While, hey, we all love to shoot stuff, kill stuff, but it's also about the story behind it and what you're getting out of that hunting adventure.
Yeah, we have always tried to tell a story, not just I'm here hunting and, you know, we all love to hunt, but kind of why are you where you are? What's the story behind it? And, we're not always successful either, and I know Trevin has some no-kill shows, as do we. You try to obviously minimize that, but if killing an animal made a hunt successful, there'd be a lot less people going out there, because the success rate's not always that great, especially if you're in the archery world. So it's the experience, the adventure, the camaraderie with you, with people, just experiencing nature. And you certainly couldn't have a hunting show where you had, 13 no-kill episodes, but having a few here and there, really tells a true story, and that's kind of what we're trying to do with Pure Hunting, is hunt the way the vast majority of people do and experience it for all that a hunt has to offer.
Well, Willie, I've hunted with bow for elk two or three times now and never even saw an elk, it was partly my fault for, not being able to get close enough or call good enough to draw them in, and I think part of it was at least 1 year that there just were no elk in our area, but those things happen. You don't always kill one.
That's right, and even if you do all the research and you go someplace that you know, is new that you've done the research and they're supposed to be there, or even I've had a couple times where I've hunted an area for 10 years and you go in fairly confident and for whatever reason, they're not active, or maybe they're out of the unit and you really, you don't know. And even if you've scouted the area and again, have confidence in it, one area I've been in, we just went in there and hardly heard anything. It's not a migratory herd, so we weren't too late or too early. It just happens, whether it's a food source or, you know, something happened that you weren't aware of, a bunch of human activity, you know, Colorado, no wolves, so to speak, to drive them out. But that's hunting. I mean, you can do all that you think to prepare for it, and at the end of the day, it's out of your control.
Yeah, you know, Willie, I've talked to game biologists before that tracked elk and different things, and they told me, this one gentleman told me that the elk migrate in a 50-mile radius. They have a kind of a center location for that herd, and they migrate in a 50-mile radius around that. And he said one day they can be over way over on this side, and you think, and you see all those elk, and you think, man, this is going to be a great hunt. And that night they migrate to the far other side, and there's not an elk in your territory.
That's amazing, and also shows you that you could hunt. Say you have a 6-day hunt. You could see nothing for 4 days, and if you don't keep after it and don't get discouraged, all of a sudden they could, just like somebody flipped on a light switch, and there they are, and you can have a phenomenal remaining couple of days.
That's right. That's right. Absolutely. And patience is what's important, and stick to it.
Mm-hmm.
That's right.
From the archery standpoint, I mean, I know you guys do rifle hunting things as well, but you guys love your archery. What are just some tips that you say, boy, you know what, just in the last season or two, I've learned this about elk hunting with archery?
Well, our elk hunting with archery, I mean, everybody wants to just sit there and bugle or cow call and have a big bull come running in, stand there 20 yards and stand broadside coming to the call and have it, you know, and that's what a lot of the hunting shows and especially some of the call makers that are there to sell calls are promoting. But one of the things that I've learned is sometimes saying nothing once you've located a bull is the best thing that you can do and just stalk in there. Number one, you're alerting the elk that something is there and around the corner and in their circle, if you will, and so they're going to be on alert, whether it's cows looking around or another bull. And sometimes just sneaking in there if they're vocal is the best thing you can do. It's not as pretty or as much fun or maybe not as much excitement as a bull bugling and coming in, but the success, and I've stalked in on a few of them and killed them that way, but sometimes saying nothing is the best thing you can do.
So on the calls, you know, there's certain animals like, well, if you don't know what you're doing, you probably shouldn't even attempt to call. But with elk, now the cow calls, you know, those are pretty easy. You know, they've got some that are just mouth calls you can do pretty easy. But when you're doing the bugling and stuff, what kind of calls do you like? And, you know, how proficient do you think someone needs to be on those bugles?
You know, it's not a real easy answer. There's some guys who are real proficient and swear that bugling still works as well as it ever used to. And some of those guys are call manufacturers or are world champion elk callers. I'd probably put myself in sort of the B category as far as repertoire and whatnot, being able to use a bugle. Fox Pro is one of our sponsors, and Fox Pro is known for electronic predator calls, but they do have a line of elk calls that's pretty darn good. They've got a couple of open reeds, they do have some diaphragms, and then they've got a great bugle tube. And bulls still do respond to bugling, no doubt about it. You know, nothing works all the time. Mm-hmm. Guys will sit there and bugle for 3 days, and they say, well, the elk are call shy, and so they're running off. And maybe it's you weren't a good elk caller. Maybe that bull just had his butt kicked by somebody else, so he's taking up his harem and running off. The whole bunch of things that you'll never know what's affecting that specific elk.
Right.
So, you know, my thing is just learn how to cow call, learn how to bugle, learn how to sound like a young bull, learn how to sound like an, you know, big bull that's real aggressive, and just try it all. And you'll probably fail more than you succeed, but like everything else, when you get the right bull at the right time, it's going to work. My deal is I usually will do some locator bugles, and especially if it's a bull that's far off, then I won't make another sound until I really try to close the distance. And then a lot of times from then on, won't bugle, I'll do cow calls and that type of thing until he either, you know, may not respond or sounds like he's moving off. And then you just kind of mix it up. The other thing is that, you know, an elk bugling doesn't mean he's coming in. You kind of need to learn to read what an elk is saying. A lot of times he's bugling if you're cow calling. He's actually calling the cows to him, not wanting to come find you. He may have cows around and he's fending off some satellite bulls and he's just saying, hey, I'm over here. If you want to come on over, come on over. And a lot of guys that I know will sit there and keep doing the same thing, just expecting that bull to come over. So, you know, bugle doesn't just mean here I am, I'm coming in. It's you kind of need to read and try to understand what he's saying.
Right.
Because not every bugle means the exact same thing.
Right. We've got about a minute and a half in this segment left here. Talk about what on your website, purehunting.com. I notice you've got a store tab there. Tell us what's available at your store on purehunting.com.
Yeah, first of all, you can click through and watch all the episodes from season 1 to 4 on the website. So that's available. And then we do have some hats and T-shirts, and the timing of this call is great because I've just got 2 new T-shirt designs and 2 new hat designs that the products are on order, and I ought to have them here in about a week or 10 days, and we'll upload that to the store. Just new designs, new colors, and kind of a new tagline we've come up with the design group that's no fences, no limits. So that could mean literal fences, could mean just, you know, don't sell yourself short, no limits, go wherever you can and have the physical ability to go where you can.
Wow, that's great. We got to take a short break when we come back. Again, Willie Schmidt is our guest, host of Pure Hunting on the Sportsman's Channel. Go to that website, purehunting.com. Again, hit on the store. And again, really cool logo. They came out with a new logo, I believe, last year and got some great products there. And, you know, quit getting just the same old gifts for the person in your life that's maybe the outdoorsman. Go there and get some of the DVDs from Willie, and I promise you they'll enjoy it. When we come back, we're going to talk a little bit about South Africa. Willie has been over with our friends from Bushman's Quiver, and, of course, Red's been over there as well, and we're going to come back and talk a little bit about that. You're listening to Sportsman of Colorado. We'll be right back.
This is Red Merrill for Phoenix Weaponry. Phoenix Weaponry is a weapon manufacturer that services the firearm enthusiast. From precision ARs to suppressors, Phoenix Weaponry can make your dreams come true. Phoenix Weaponry is a full-service gun shop that offers gunsmithing, coating, and modifications to your own weapon. Phoenix Weaponry, family-owned and operated right here in Colorado. If you can dream it, Phoenix Weaponry can build it. Call today, 720-340-2496. Again, that's 720-340-2496. Or visit their website, phoenixweaponry.com. Mention Sportsman of Colorado and receive 10% off your custom-built weapon.
Do you or your dog enjoy hiking, hunting, and the outdoors? If so, please listen to this message. Do you know that each year in the United States, over 1 million animal bite wounds are reported? Now there's help at the Snake Avoidance Clinic, May 21st and 22nd, presented by the Rocky Mountain Sporting Dog Club. May 21st from 8 to 4 p.m. at the Cabela's Lone Tree location. Sunday, May 22nd from 8 to 4 at the Cabela's in Thornton. Your dog will receive training with a proven method of snake proofing and avoidance. Cost is only $60 per dog. Call now, 303-699-7199. That's 303-699-7199. Or visit their website, rmtsdc.com.
It's truck month again at Lynn Lyle Chevrolet. We're the number one truck dealer in Colorado. Hi, I'm Dan Johnson. We're overstocked with trucks and giving discounts and rebates up to $10,000 off Silverados. Hurry, these offers won't last. LynnLyleChevrolet.com. Chevy, find new roads.
Wake up with Steve Curtis, weekday mornings at 6 on KLZ 560.
We are back. You're listening to Sportsman of Colorado. My name is Scott Watley. Once again, glad to have my partner back, Red Merrill, in studio with us. Willie Schmidt is our guest. If you're just joining us, Pure Hunting is Willie's show on the Sportsman's Channel. That'll be later on this fall. But check out his website, purehunting.com. A lot of great video work there. And I'm telling you, there's a lot of shows. And we were kind of talking about that in our first segment. But you will not see a show that has finer videography in it. And, boy, great stories along with their hunts, and just a great, great show. As I mentioned before the break, we're going to move over to South Africa a little bit. Last year, Willie and his family got to go over to visit our friends, Stefan, at Bushman's Quiver. So Well, let's just kind of go back to that experience. And one thing we do want to point out, if you're traveling with someone under, was it 18?
It was under 16, I believe.
Under 16.
Yep.
Okay. Yeah, we got a lesson there for you, and we'll touch on that before we get out of here today. But let's just go back and kind of talk about that trip for you and your family.
It was a fantastic experience. Went with my co-host and friend Chris Nowak. He actually won the hunt at the International Sportsman's Expo, I guess a summer and a half or a year and a half before we went. And jumped at the chance to go with him and include the whole family. My wife, she did not hunt, but my daughter, who was 18 at the time, and son, who was 15, went. We did all archery and just had a phenomenal experience. It was just as much fun for me to be sitting in the blind and watch them shoot their animals as it was for me. Very target-rich environment, some very, very unique animals. And just a ton of fun. I mean, it is an adventure and experience that I think anybody who's a hunter should really take advantage of.
Yeah, Willie, how would you rate Bushman's Quiver as far as the facilities and the way they took care of you?
Well, on a scale of 1 to 9, I'd be hard pressed to give them anything less than a 9. Or sorry, a scale of 1 to 10, anything less than a 9. Accommodations were great. Communication was great. You know, you're dealing with something halfway around the world, and everything worked out just the way it was supposed to. The PHs were great and have become friends. I've stayed in touch with them over the last year. It's a very family-oriented. It's not some giant operation. Stefan and Naki do a great job, husband and wife, really making you feel at home. And it was 10 days was too short, frankly. They really do a great
yes.
job. I'd recommend them a bunch.
Yeah, you go over there and you wish you could stay a month or two.
Yep, and as they say, when you're coming back from Africa, you're planning your next trip in your head, and I think that's just because of the experience that we had with them, for sure.
Boy, no doubt. And, you know, it's really because the first time we went was May of 2013, and, you know, I just didn't even know what to expect. And, boy, going over there and just, I mean, Red and I remember very, very vividly, we're in the back of the truck, and I just looked over at him, and I go, man, we're in Africa. Yeah. You see giraffes' heads above the trees and all the different things. And, I mean, it is just so cool. And, you know, a lot of times when I talk to people about that, or they'll hear us on the show, they'll go, yeah, I don't have 25 grand, you know, or 40 grand. They think it's, you know, just completely out of sight. And a couple of specials that we are working together with Stefan and Bushman's Quiver, and, you know, actually through Sportsman of Colorado, Pure Hunting with Willie, and we're even going to wrap in No Limits Archery, our friend Phil Mendoza. But listen to this, folks. You get 7 days in Africa, 5 days of hunting. You get a blessed buck, an impala, a blue wildebeest, and a warthog. You get your experienced PH, which is your professional hunter, all your accommodations and meals, trophy field prep, daily laundry service, and your airport transfers. Now, you still have to take care of your flight, and probably between the times you go, it could run anywhere from, you know, couple of grand, $2,500 for a round trip flight, but all of that for $39.50. That's about half of what a lot of good guided elk hunts run. Red,
I mean, that's true. And you get to kill several animals.
Four animals, yeah,
with that price,
yeah. And you're in Africa. And then there's several others. There's a $73.50 package and a $99.50 package that just includes some different animals and more days. And the $73.50 package and the $99.50 package, that includes your airline ticket from Atlanta, D.C., or New York. So if you're in Denver, you fly yourself to Atlanta, then they pick up the airfare over there. And like with the $73.50 package, you get the zebra, a blessed buck, a warthog, a blue wildebeest, and an impala, and all those other things that I mentioned. Yeah. So some great, great value. And Will, you talked about this with your family and stuff. I mean, your kids got to get about 3 years, I think in your words, 3 years of archery experience in a couple of weeks there.
There's no doubt about it. You could sit in a tree stand for a year or two and not even pull your bow back.
Right.
Chance at a good whitetail, or you could spend, I mean, the average archery success rate on elk is 10%. And not again that you won't have a great experience, but it's so imperative and important for new hunters to have that experience of pulling your bow back, settling in, letting the nerves settle down. They're never going to disappear, but enough to make a good quality shot. And my son, who before we left had never killed anything with his bow, shot five animals, and my daughter, who had killed a white-tailed doe and a turkey with her bow, took home three animals. And those were not the only opportunities that they had. They just, you know, I mean, my checkbook was restricting them quite a bit, but also they knew what animals, you know, that they thought after being there a little bit, and we looked at pictures and whatnot, they kind of felt that they wanted to have an opportunity at.
Mm-hmm.
And so we did that. But all told, you know, they killed eight animals. And again, just to do that within 10 days and watch them settle in and make great shots was phenomenal. It really gives you a lot of experience. I mean, they practiced hard before they went. That was a condition I had on them, and they performed great.
Yeah, Willie, what was the favorite animal that you and your kids took?
Well, I'll say one for each of us. I had been in 2006, and that's another story. It was not a wonderful experience. It was a good one, and yes, it was Africa, but just didn't have many opportunities. It was more a rifle camp, and you know, the animal, it was also a heavy, wet year, so they weren't coming to the water holes. But I always wanted a Nyala as my number one animal. And I was able to take a really nice Nyala bull on the second day of the hunt. So I met my, you know, number one hit list animal, if you will. My daughter wanted a kudu, but a beautiful water buck came in, and she took, it was about a 29-inch water buck. So that was her, by far, nicest one. And I was sitting right over her shoulder to watch the shot. And my son did take a kudu, nice, you know, 51-inch bull.
Oh, yeah, that's good.
Yep. Yep, and incidentally, we just got our trophies back here just about a week ago. Did not have the taxidermy work done there. I had them all shipped over, you know, just the skulls and the hides and
yes.
whatnot. So I can't wait for, you know, 6 months to a year from now to actually have them in the house and just look at them and have the memories.
And, you know, it does jar your memory. You can think back and say, man, I can remember exactly how I took that animal.
That's right. Absolutely. And that's one thing that you see a lot of people thinking you're showing disrespect to an animal by taking the photos and, you know, having them up. And obviously not our circle or any hunters, but it's not so much about, you're actually showing respect for the animal by doing that. And to be able to showcase the experience and look back on the memories and have something to show for it. And both the photos and the taxidermy work, once it's completed, just, it, you know, it's a great showpiece for people to take a look at it, and jars remembering all of those stories and retelling them.
Yes, and you know, Willie, most people don't realize that that hunting is the greatest conservation tool that we've got available today, because it controls the population, it stimulates the economy, and it allows them, with that money that they bring in, to create better habitat, and that's what produces more animals.
Absolutely. There's no doubt about it.
Our guest is Willie Schmidt, host of Pure Hunting. Be sure and catch the show this fall. Check out his website, purehunting.com. Again, I highly recommend going to the store there. I looked on there this morning, and you can buy some DVDs of the shows. And I promise you, if you haven't watched any kind of shows on cable lately, you know, again, there are some pretty good ones out there, but this is one of the best. I'm not just saying that because Willie's on the line with us today, but it is absolutely great, great video work. You really get the stories. You'll see the hits and the misses, and but it's just a great, great show. Now, we mentioned something. We kind of laughed when Willie came on because it's not even funny now, and it sure wasn't funny then. But when Willie was traveling to South Africa, everybody thinks passports is the ticket to everything and getting you anywhere. And, Willie, you found out that was not true.
Yeah, and you really don't have anybody to blame but yourself. But frankly, the South African government didn't do a great job of promoting it. But we showed up at the airport, Chris, my wife, kids, and I, and had all of our ducks in a row. So we thought, getting ready to board. We were actually in Atlanta, and they called everybody up who was traveling with children under 16 and said, not only did you need the passport, but also their birth certificate. Well, if we would have been told in Denver, we could have done something about it. So here we are in Atlanta. We were not able to board the flight, and we had to scramble, and without all the gory details, my mom was able to get the birth certificate, get it to us the next day in Atlanta, and we were good to go. But that is something that was a relatively new law, did not promote it, and it delayed us by 24 hours. When we were leaving the next day, there were three families who dealt with the exact same thing we did and were not able to leave on their trip either.
Wow.
So I would just say anytime you're traveling internationally, just really, if you're using a travel agent, make sure that you get all the latest, greatest information. If you're doing it on your own, if there's anything that comes across as an update, just don't assume it's a slight change in your itinerary, that it could be something as dramatic as that. We were lucky it only cost us 24 hours. It could have cost us many days or the trip.
Right. Got about a minute and a half here, but I want to let you tell, we were talking before the show, you're heading to Argentina on a dove hunt. Tell us about that.
Yeah, it's a trip my dad and I are going to go on with a few other friends and some family members. It's been on a bucket list of my dad's for a long, long time. He loved to hunt everything. I owe my hunting passion, ethic, and conservation ethic to him. And he lived in Kansas and had a pretty good dove field, but like every place in the States, you're limited to 15, and you can burn a field out quick or the weather can come through. So he retired about 2 years ago, and I got a really good deal on a package trip, so we're going to go and go to the dove hunting Mecca, three days of shooting doves in Argentina.
Wow, man, that's a great deal, and especially, man, to get to do that with your dad. That's
yes,
awesome.
That is special. Yeah, and Scott and I have had a dream for a long time to go to Argentina, but Africa kind of intervened there.
We got the A right. It was just not Argentina. It was Africa, yeah.
And so now we're still planning that great dove hunt.
Well, you'll have to tell us all about it, and we'll get you on a show, and then maybe we can get hooked up and all go again someday.
Yeah. Willie?
No, that would be it. Yeah.
Yeah, by the way, I mean, 15 is the limit? I thought you could shoot about 50.
Well, what you can do and what you should do are two different.
Oh, okay. Okay, I understand.
Hey, Willie, thanks for taking time with us today to be on Sportsman of Colorado. Again, thank you for your friendship to us. And, you know, I love this outdoor world, so to speak. Most of the people, I mean, I guess we all meet that jerk once in a while, but most of the people you meet in this are great people, want to help each other. I want to see you succeed. You want to see us succeed. And it's just a great camaraderie. And I want to thank you and Chris and your team there for the good friends you've been to us here at Sportsman of Colorado.
Well, the feeling's mutual, and really enjoyed getting to know you both over the last couple of years. And I'm sure we're going to continue to grow and support each other, and like the Bushman's Quiver thing, you just never know what's going to come down the pike and what else you can all do together. So
absolutely
glad to do it. I really appreciate your friendship and the opportunity to be on here, your promotion of Pure Hunting, but more importantly, like I say, the personal friendship is great.
All right, that's Willie Schmidt, purehunting.com. Check out that store, go buy some cool products. We've got to take a break, and we'll be back with more right after this.
For over 30 years, Academy Roofing has been serving Colorado with great customer service. Let me tell you why I am so happy that I chose Academy Roofing. They were efficient, on time, and their cleanup was perfect after my roof was completed. As an A-plus member with the Better Business Bureau, Academy Roofing brings the knowledge and experience you need in a roofing contractor. Call now, 303-360-0708, or visit academyroofinginc.com. At Academy Roofing, your roof is our reputation. Academy Roofing is an official registered company of HaystackHelp.com.
Are you tired of not having a place to hunt or fish? Or maybe you just don't know where to even start to find your next outdoor adventure? This is Kevin Flesh for Colorado Outdoor Sports. Since 2001, Colorado Outdoor Sports has been providing outdoor opportunities to sportsmen with the benefits that only private land can offer. Colorado Outdoor Sports offers over 40,000 acres of private land. Kids under 16 hunt does and cows for free on club property. Call now, 303-460-0273. That's 303-460-0273. Mention Sportsman of Colorado and receive 50% off the initiation fee. Call now, 303-460-0273, or visit their website. Call now, 303-460-0273, or visit their website, ColoradoOutdoorSports.com.
This is Scott Watley for my friends at Rampart Firearms in Sedalia. This is a great store. Family owned and operated. They buy, sell, trade, and consign firearms. You will find a great selection of new and pre-owned handguns, shotguns, and rifles. If you can't find the gun you want, Rampart Firearms will special order your gun at no extra cost. Found a gun on the internet? Rampart Firearms will do one firearm transfer and the background check for only $10 if you mention Sportsman of Colorado. Rampart Firearms, 720-468-0050. That's 720-468-0050. Located at Highway 60. In Santa Fe in Sedalia. Rampart Firearms opens 7 days a week. 720-468-0050.
Rush to Reason with John Rush. Weekday afternoons at 3 on KLZ 560.
We are back. You're listening to Sports from Colorado. My name is Scott Watley, along with my partner, Red Merrill. If you're just joining us and hadn't heard Red in a while, he is back. And glad to have Red back in studio. Check out our website, sportsmanofcolorado.com. If you've got some photos, maybe spring turkey is still going. So maybe if you've got some good turkey pics you want to send us and get on our bragging gallery, we would love to put you on that as well. We're going to switch over now and talk to C.J. Kossel, for C.J.'s been on here the last several weeks promoting the Snake Avoidance Clinic, and then we're just going to talk a little dog training in general. But first of all, let's talk about the Snake Avoidance Clinic, and C.J., first of all, let me give you a proper introduction here. He's the president of Rocky Mountain Sporting Dog Club, trained and hunted over his own bird dogs, German Shorthairs, for over 35 years, and trains professionally. He's a member of the Sport Dog Brand Pro Staff, and has given seminars and demonstrations with his dogs at the local Bass Pro Shops and Cabela stores and the International Sportsman's Expo. Welcome to Sportsman of Colorado again.
Well, thank you, Scott. It's great always to be here with you guys, and it's good to share the show here today with Red, too. So looking forward to it.
Yeah. So let's talk about the Snake Avoidance Clinic. That's coming up May 21st and 22nd. This is going to be at both of our Cabela stores here in the area on the 21st. That's going to be at the Lone Tree store. And then the Thornton store is May 22nd. It's about from 8 to 4. And if you want to get your dog registered for that, it's only $60. And we'll talk a little bit more in detail about this. And you can call CJ directly, 303-699-7199. That's 303-699-7199. And, again, this is a great thing to do for your dog. They also have a website. It's rmtsdc.com. And more information there about that. But let's kind of talk about this concept and how long this has been around and a little bit about it.
Okay. Well, it's been around now that I'm familiar with it for about 10 to 12 years, but it's probably gone on even before that. But every year, about 15,000 dogs around the country get bit by venomous snakes, and that's why we put together this program. And here locally in Colorado, we do have rattlesnakes. They're the prairie rattler, which, if there's a good thing about snakes or rattlesnakes, it's the least venomous of the rattlesnakes. But it's still dangerous, and it still can kill your dog. But what we do, maybe to highlight the process a little bit, we put out snakes, two snakes in the field. And one snake will have its tail taped so it does not rattle. And what we're doing here is to associate the sight and the scent to the dog, because they're very, very attracted to the musky odor of rattlesnakes or any snake. To a dog, to us, it stinks like crazy. But
I've never got that close to smell a snake, so I don't know.
Well, if you work with them a little bit, they do not smell very good. But to a dog, it's very attractive. And so we tape that tail on that first snake to give the sight and scent. And then the dog is led into that snake by a handler, and the dog will wear an electronic training collar, and the dog is stimulated with the collar. It does not hurt the dog. It more or less gets the dog's attention and gives them a little bit of a shock, but then it gets their attention, and they associate that shock with the snake and not with the collar. So after a couple times with that first snake, then they go to the second snake, and the second snake has its tail free to rattle. And again, we're associating sight and scent, but we're also introducing the sound to the snake, sound of the snake. So the dog's curiosity is brought out again, and they, again, will be stimulated if they show any interest. It usually takes a couple of passes at that snake, and the whole process takes 5 to 7, 8 minutes, and your dog is snake trained. The last step is we have the handler with your dog on one side of the snake, and you are on the other side. You, the owner or handler of the dog, is on the other side of the snake. And we look for that dog to make a big ring around that snake when you call that dog to you. and that'll, and 99 out of 100, they will go away around that snake. They don't want anything to do with it. So, and the neat thing about this thing, too, is it warns you when you're out in the field. Once your dog is snake conditioned this way, let's say you're out for a hike or you're out hunting or whatever, and your dog comes across a snake and you might not be aware of it. Your dog will react very strangely, and it will warn you, and you get the warning as well as the dog.
Right.
Yeah, you know, people say it's impossible to walk on water. I've been out bird hunting and actually stepped on prairie rattler before, and I walked on air. I mean, I was getting away as fast as I could, and it would have been nice if my dog had understood.
Yeah, you bet.
Yeah, tell us, CJ, why is it necessary for people to get their dog trained for snake avoidance?
Well, here's the thing. You know, let's say your dog does get bit or does get into a snake and gets bit. The antivenom that you would and the treatment from a vet and the antivenom that you would give the dog or the vet would give the dog is very expensive. It costs at least $1,500 just for the vial, probably a couple of vials that you would have to inject into the dog or your vet would inject into the dog. And then your dog would be on IV at least overnight. So the whole procedure could run about $2,500. And if you have, well, everybody loves their pet, but let's say you have a bird dog or a show dog of any breed, not just hunting dogs. You want to save that dog. You don't want to lose your dog.
Sure.
And so that's why we do this.
Yes. And it is necessary because dogs don't necessarily have the instinct to stay away from them.
They have the instinct to go after them.
Yes.
So
yeah,
we want to teach them to stay away from us, just like teaching your dog no, not to jump up on people and so on.
And it's probably just like anything. You get some dogs that maybe don't care a lot, but then there's other dogs just like difference in kids or difference in us. I mean, we may be more curious than another. So you
absolutely
just never know.
Absolutely true. Absolutely true. And every dog is different.
Now, we talked about the shock collar, and to be very transparent, we got an email of where someone thought that was horrendous to use shock collars on dog training. So, CJ, you got 35 years experience in this. Let's talk about this, okay?
Yes, that, you know, and we come across this quite often, and people that have no knowledge or very little knowledge have a tendency to be against shock collar training of dogs. And if it's done properly, it is probably the best training aid that has been invented for training dogs.
Yes.
However, when they first came out, people used them in the wrong manner. And they came out with one setting high, and it probably overstimulated the dog. And so that's where that first impression is the lasting one. And since that time, about 40 years ago, they've been refined to their lighter weight. They have several levels of stimulation. They have vibration and tone to warn the dog before you would stimulate them. There's a whole variety of techniques you can use in the training with the dog collar that it really is an ultimate tool in training a dog.
Right. Because the whole idea is you're not trying to hurt the dog. You're trying to get the dog's attention. And just like as you were on a couple weeks ago, we talked about this. You get two kids. One, they both fall, maybe exactly the same deal, scrape the knee. One cries like crazy. The other one gets up and brushes off his knee and goes on. So when that dog feels that and you hear maybe a yelp or a cry, it's not because it hurt the dog, correct?
That's absolutely correct. It startles them.
Yeah.
And they're startled just like you would fall down. You didn't expect it to. As we get older, we fall down more often than we did when we were young.
Yeah, we can move on. Red's like, we can move on from that subject. Yeah. Maybe I need a shock collar on Red, and every time he starts to fall, hit him, and he'll straighten back up. Yeah. But it doesn't hurt. And so, you know, I mean, everywhere we go, bird, I mean, every dog out there has got, that's what they use.
That's exactly correct. And it does not, like you say, it does not hurt the dog. It just startles the dog. And that's what we want to do is get the dog's attention. So they, when we give them a command, no command or hear command, that they follow through with the command, and they will learn to avoid and to do the command so they would avoid the stimulation.
Right. And, I'm sorry, go ahead, Scott.
Yeah, this is a snake avoidance clinic, May 21st, 22nd, hosted by Cabela's and Rocky Mountain Sporting Dog Club. It is the 21st, 22nd. 21st at the Lone Tree Store, 22nd in Thornton. It'll go from about 8 to 4. All breeds are welcome, $60 a dog. You can call CJ now, 303-699-7199. That's 303-699-7199. You can also visit the website, rmtsdc.com. $5 from each registered dog will also be donated to the Metro Chapter of Denver Chapter of Pheasants Forever. We got to take a short break, and we're going to come back with more with C.J. Kossel, talk a little bit more about the dog, the Snake Avoidance Clinic, and just some dog training tips. We'll be right back.
If you're looking for a place you're always welcome, let me recommend Kiowa Creek Sporting Club. Hi, this is Scott Watley. Just 20 miles east of Denver, Kiowa Creek has it all. A professionally designed sporting clays course, archery range, and year-round dog training fields. Be sure and leave time to relax in the spacious clubhouse. For all Kiowa Creek Sporting Club has to offer, call 303-644-4627 or check out their website, kiowacreek.com. Mention Sportsman of Colorado, and with your one-year membership purchase, you'll receive 100 free sporting clays. Call 303-644-4627. That's 303-644-4627. Kiowa Creek Sporting Club is an official sponsor of Sportsman of Colorado.
In a flash, from out of nowhere, your whole life can change forever. It happened so quickly, nobody saw it coming. Soon, the medical bills will be arriving.
Will insurance cover your injuries? Does the other driver have assets? Should I sue?
It was his fault, after all. After an accident, you need to call the law offices of Flesh Law. Flesh Law will never settle until you are fully compensated for your injuries.
Call 303-806-8886 for the Flesh Law Firm. 303-806-8886. Online, go to fleshlawfirm.com.
Flesh Law, the trial-tested, trial-ready attorneys.
Hi, this is Scott Watley for my friends at One Shot Gear in Englewood. If you are a hunter, you know that after a full year of training, shooting, and planning, when the season rolls around, you're lucky to get one shot at a trophy. At One Shot Gear, they've got you covered with the largest selection of premium hunting gear in Colorado, like Blosser Rifles, Sitka Gear, and Night Force Optics. The One Shot Gear team has the experience, so they can help you find exactly what you need for the hunt of a lifetime. When only the best will do, choose One Shot Gear, located at 4720 South Santa Fe Circle in Englewood. One Shot Gear is your premium hunting gear headquarters. Call 303-284-3828. That's 303-284-3828. If Sitka makes it, One Shot Gear has it. They're the largest stocking dealer in Colorado. Ask for Grant. Tell him Sportsman of Colorado sent you. Mention Sportsman of Colorado and today only receive 10% off of all clothing and boots. One Shot Gear is an official sponsor of Sportsman of Colorado.
It's truck month again at Lynn Lyle Chevrolet. We're the number one truck dealer in Colorado. Hi, I'm Dan Johnson. We're overstocked with trucks and giving discounts and rebates up to $10,000 off Silverados. Hurry, these offers won't last. LynnLyleChevrolet.com. Chevy, find new roads.
Steve Dace, live from 7 to 10 weeknights on AM 560 and 100.7 FM. KLZ, The Source.
Welcome back to Sportsman of Colorado. My name is Scott Watley, along with my partner, Red Merrill. Thank you so much for joining us today. C.J. Kossel is our guest. We are talking about the Snake Avoidance Clinic coming up May 21st, 22nd at the respective Cabela's stores. Again, the 21st out south and the 22nd up north at the Thornton Cabela's there. And if you're interested in that, you can call C.J. at 303-699-7199.
Yeah, and CJ, I know you've, as a professional dog trainer, that you've probably trained lots of different breeds of dogs. Is there a difference in the breed of dog as to how they're going to respond to the shot collar?
Well, there is a little of that, but more of the personality of the dog. We categorize dogs either as a very aggressive, not aggressive, but an alpha dog, or you may have a more laid-back dog, which we call a soft dog. And that's why we have varying stimulation on the e-collar. some of the units that, like Sport Dog manufactures, you have three different modes and you have seven different stimulation levels at each mode, so you get 21 different levels of stimulation. And what you do is you find the level that will get that dog to react with a body motion of some type during training. They might flinch their ear or flinch their head a little bit. That's the level you want to train at. If the dog yips, then you move down a level so you're not getting verbalization from
sure.
the dog.
Yeah. So every dog is different according to their temperament.
That's correct, just like we are.
Yes. And so you got to be very aware of the dog and how they're responding to your commands and to your collar.
Absolutely. And what we do is when I instruct people on using an e-collar and getting started, we have them put the receiver unit on the dog's neck for 2 weeks without even turning it on at various times during the day for a couple, 2-3 hours a day, so the dog gets used to the collar.
Now, what age?
The dog should be at least 6 months old before you start using an e-collar on the dog.
6 months old.
That doesn't mean you don't start training your dog. You
right, just the e-collar. Okay, yeah. That. So let's start out at the beginning if we talk about dog training, and that's, first of all, just buying the puppy. A lot of places out there can profess this about being this kind of high-end kennel and bloodline champions, and they use all the keywords. How can we know, going up to that kennel, if that person, let's just be honest, if they're being honest with us on the type of dog we're getting?
Well, you know, and that is a real good question. I'm glad you asked that one. Again, references, word of mouth. From fellow hunters, and some dogs are bred to be field trial champions. Well, the average fellow going out for a bird dog might want one that's working a little closer to him and doesn't run off over the hillside like a field trial dog will. And they should ask that breeder, what type of breeding do you breed to? Do you breed for the hunter or do you breed for the field trawler?
Yeah. Okay. Great. And then, of course, most time you get them, what, 8 weeks?
8 weeks is the law in Colorado. They cannot be separated from the mother until they're
so then at old. What age do you say, hey, by this age, you ought to start training them?
Well, I train them right away. I tell people that you start with your basic commands of housebreaking, and you want the dog to come to you when you call it, little puppy, and kneel down and say, here, or come. Some people use come. Some people use here. Right. You kneel down and clap your hands a little bit and let that pup come to you. And also you show him where you want him to eat his food. I recommend you have a consistent spot where you set his food and water. And you take him outside and have him go to the bathroom in a certain spot where you want that bathroom duty to be done. And also I recommend to start the dog introducing the gun by clapping over his food when he's eating. The little puppy's eating. Clap your hands lightly in the same room right next to the dog, fairly close to the dog. And if he shows any reaction, looks at you, stop clapping. When he goes back to eat, clap again until he ignores you. Then you're introducing him to noises. You're introducing that pup to what a gunfire is going to eventually sound like.
Mm-hmm.
And you take it step by step, and you go to the pot, pan, and spoon. Go into your wife's kitchen, get a nice spoon and a pan, and tap lightly. And if the dog reacts to that, cease until the dog shows no interest in that. And then you would go to outdoors and clap a couple pieces of wood together, same procedure, and eventually work up to a training pistol and a shotgun.
Hmm. Yeah. And it is a process that takes a little bit of time, and you don't want to accelerate that process by skipping some of the steps.
Absolutely. Very good point. Yes. Patience, and patience. Dog training is probably one of the most extreme examples of delayed gratification you're going to have in your life. And we live in an age of instant internet, instant food, and instant whatever, and I want it when I want it, and I want it right now kind of stuff. That doesn't work with dog training.
Right. Yeah,
that's true. Or horse training either.
That's right.
Or cowboy train, the horse training the cowboy either, right?
Yeah, that's correct.
CJ Costler is our guest. Again, folks, you know, I don't know if there's another state that seems to be more dog friendly than Colorado. Everybody's got them. Take care of you and your dog. Maybe you enjoy hiking. Maybe you're not even into hunting. You're just out doing hiking. Take care of your dog. Get enrolled in the Snake Avoidance Clinic. That's May 21st and 22nd, hosted by Cabela's and Rocky Mountain Sporting Dog Club. Again, you can reach CJ at 303-699-7199. This is for all breeds, and $60 a dog. You can also go to their website, and that's rmtsdc.com for more information. But probably the easiest thing, just call CJ. Again, that number, 303-699-7199. Now, what if you've got a couple of puppies? Let's say you go to a place and you said, hey, I want to buy two dogs, so now I got two. Do you train those individually? Do you try to train them together?
What I am working with a client now that has two young lab pups that he purchased, and we train together, but we train the dog separately. Does that sound like an oxymoron to you? But anyway, I have one dog stay in its kennel, or we may stake it out.